process here at Father's House Kericha to determine and establish who we are and where we are going. And the beauty of it falls within the bigger body that we are a part of. And we as an organization, Father's House South Africa, have a vision. And the reason why we want to keep repeating the vision is because if we don't repeat the vision, it becomes like a New Year's resolution. And it will be over by the first week of January. But we as an organization believe, or as a church, a greater church, we believe to awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. And then the question for us as a church in Kericha is, how do we find our space within the greater vision? And we as a congregation, we said, but we feel that we want to host the presence of Jesus and obey him. So our vision is to awaken the world to the gift of salvation. But how are we going to do it? How's our mission going to follow through? We want to host the presence and obey Jesus. Now this morning, I want to talk about not church. What is church not? I'm not even sure if I'm going to say that, but what is church not? Now, I'm going to read something, read a passage, try and explain it, so just hang in there. But not church. What is not church? So in Matthew 18, 20, a lot of people, we have those friends that says, nah, you know, I don't have to go to church because for wherever two or three come together in honor of my name, I'm right there with them. Jesus. So they say, no, I can have church at home. I can have church on the beach, on my fishing boat. Maybe, but it's not church. You could experience the presence of Jesus in these spaces, but it's not church. And rightfully said, that is Jesus, and whatever Jesus says is true. The reason I want to start here is we as a church, we need to define what is church and who are we in church. But this is not church. So what is so beautiful about that is we are two or three or more, and we are gathered in the honor of the name of Jesus, and therefore he's here. But it's not church. So what is church? Church is, and what's so beautiful is that why I got to this scripture wasn't actually part of my sermon this morning, but I realized the people I'm going to speak to this morning, those that actually arrived, you get something of church. Because, you know, if there's one day you should have been on the beach, or out in the forest, or next to a river, or on your fishing boat, was this morning. So you that have come this morning, catch something about church, and what church is for, and what the reason is for church. But just, so we honor Jesus for being present where two or three gather in the honor of his name, but it's not church. So what is church? So a couple of weeks ago, I preached on Acts 2, and there was this beautiful picture of the disciples after Jesus had ascended to heaven, gathering in an upper room privately, and the outpour of the Holy Spirit came. So some fire came, some excitement came, something new came, which was the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, but the beautiful picture of the upper room privately receiving the energy flowing out into the street, preaching of the gospel in people's tongues that they knew, and 1,000 people came to Jesus and came to the Lord or came to salvation that same day. So this beautiful picture of Jesus and his disciples, Jesus ascending to the Father, the disciples in the upper room, not just the 12 of them, them and their extended family, waiting on the Lord, private space, fire comes, flows out into the street, and 3,000 come to the Lord in that moment. So what is church? The end of that story in Acts 2 says what church is. So church is, from Acts 2:42, it says, they were faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. So what is church? Following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. There was some form of unity. What is church? Sharing communion. So when we actually share communion, coming together for prayer? For when? Regularly. I'm not sure how you say that. Too many R's for me. Coming together regularly. Oof, that was even worse. For what? Prayer. There was a holy awe amongst them. Now, I think this holy awe was connected to the hearts. We all knew of the same presence of the Lord in our midst, and there was this holy awe. That's church. There were miraculous signs and wonders amongst them. There was fellowship. They were sharing with one another. There was joyful hearts and tender humility. What is church? Joyful hearts and tender humility. Continually filled with praises to God. Continually filled with praise to God. And then what was the result? Because of all these things, and I think I missed one there. Eating together. I missed that one. They ate together. So, something that I've got to, that I've been made aware of in my own life, personally, is that in my household, myself, Barbara, and the kids, Esther, Joy, and Mariella, I've first got to be church or anointed, or I first need to be present with them before my ministry could mean anything. So I first have to get ministry right at home before getting it right here. Now, it could be church, but church is not just gathering. Church is, in a summarized version, continually praising, taking communion, eating together, and sharing your things and being generous. And then what's so beautiful about the scripture that has personally, when I preached about it a week or two ago, I only saw this then. Who added to their numbers? The Lord. The Lord kept adding to their numbers. And I'm like, Jesus, why did you keep adding to their numbers? Because, and the Lord's revealed to me, spoke to me, and I discerned that they were being church. They were gathering together regularly in each other's homes, eating together, specifically having communion. And there was a space already established that the Lord could add somebody to. So many of us live a very singular life or a very private life, and the Lord works in miraculous ways, but when did the Lord keep adding to their number? When they gathered together, when they prayed, ate, and communion. Then the Lord added to their number. So, I don't want to take away the significance of meeting two or three in the Lord's name together and His presence is there. But it's not church. Church is a community focused on gathering together, praising the Lord, having communion, eating together, and making sure that there's a space that the Lord can add to them. That is church. Amen? So, we that are already a church, we've got a vision. We've got a mission. And we realize that, as Acts 2 says, we've got to do this together. But what then? When we've actually come to the point in saying we can do this together, where to then? What now? Oh, do we gather? Yes, here we are. Get worship? Yes, there we are. What next? Now, when we are already a body, and when we are already a church, and especially in where we are now, 2024, most of us have got some form of an idea what church needs to look like. So, and that comes from your history, how you grew up, and you say, okay, I joined this church because I like this or I don't like this. But some of us have some form of idea what church looks like. Now, we as a church, we've come up to this point, 3 and a bit years later from being in the building. And now we've gathered and we've built a community. And now we're in the space, we're asking the Lord, what next? Lord, what do you want next from us? The leading of the Lord through the prophetic word that we've received for ourselves goes in two folds. Is one, the story of Abraham going to sacrifice his son, but the Lord providing a ram. So the Lord will provide. The second word for us is there's a time coming where people will be so desperate to hear the message of the kingdom, Jesus will look for a boat to get into. And the question is our boat ready for Jesus to step into and teach people the message of the kingdom? And where I want to get to today is, now that we know we are a church, we're a space, and we want to stick up our hands, it says, Jesus, use us. And the big question for us is, do we fill the building with people that need Jesus and then Jesus will come? Or do we fill the building with Jesus and then the people that need Jesus will come? You can decide. But the one thing that we as a church need to do is we need to do the next thing. We cannot do nothing. We have to do the next thing. And what that looks like cannot be limited by our resources. What we do next should not be limited by our resources. And for those of us that have journeyed with myself and some of the leaders here before, and we've been in this space, there's been a couple of times that we've had some colorful people join us. Colorful meaning interesting people join us for a service, and then people that were of greater need And then we would, some of us will be harassed for a couple of weeks by somebody at church. And so the point I want to make is, sometimes people engage with us as a church or as people just to see if they can get something from us on a financial or a provision level. But what I want to go into next, in the next scripture, and this comes after, so Acts 2, Acts 3, because I asked the Lord, Lord, now that we're a body and we want to serve the city, what do we serve them with? What do we serve them with? And it's Acts 3, 1 to 6. If you want to turn to there. So just quickly, it says, one afternoon, Peter and John went to the temple for the 3 o'clock prayer. As they came to the entrance called the Beautiful Gate, they were captured by the sight of a man crippled from birth, being carried and placed at the entrance of the temple. He was often brought there to beg for money from those going into worship. When he noticed Peter and John when they noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. Peter and John looked straight into the eyes of the crippled man and said, look at us. Let's just pause there for a moment. So many of us get confronted by church, in society, by those begging for money, or those crippled, or those in need. One of my tricks that I have to not to be confronted with those begging is I look away. I didn't see you. Who else looks away to not see somebody begging for money? So honest person sitting in the back row. The rest of you are dead honest. Thank you so much. One of the tricks I have is if I see somebody, or you also have that game you plan, or I don't know how aware you guys are of your surroundings, but if you see somebody there and you see that where you're going and where they are going might just cross, I'm like, I just wanted to go into clicks. For a moment, we laugh because it's true, eh? So one of the things we do to avoid people begging for money from us is we look away. Two of Jesus' disciples, filled by the Holy Spirit, no shame. What do they do? You can say, what do they do? Straight into his eyes. May the next time you get confronted with somebody in need, may you look past your own insecurities or your own I'm doing this because it's touching me because I look away. The next time you're confronted with somebody in need, may you not look away or look at your own limitations. May you in that moment be so aware of what you've been filled with that which is inside of you is greater than the need in front of you. May we not be so afraid of poverty and need and people that are crippled or in need of healing that we look away. But here we have two guys filled with the Holy Spirit. At that point, remember, they're also to a certain degree, I'm not completely sure, but they're a little bit people not too happy with him. Remember, they just crucified Jesus. Now, for us, it's a beautiful picture that we have the story of the crucifixion, But for them, there was an execution. So their leader of their organization was just executed because of their beliefs. And now two people carrying the same beliefs going to the same place, the temple, where the leaders of that space executed their leader. So they are carrying something, they are carrying some form of confidence. I want to say it's confidence, but they're still going to the temple. Now, I've only made that realization now that Peter and John went to the same place, ruled by the same people that just killed Jesus. They went back there, back to the difficult place, back to the place of persecution, back to those that are actually opposing them. And what do they find on the way there? Sorry, before I go, the reason why they go. Okay, let's go two slides back. Why do they go? One more. Oh, there we go. Next one. Going into worship. I don't know if it, what's the beginning of that one? Right to the beginning. Next one. Oh, o'clock prayer. So they went for prayer. You can go back to the slides where we were left off. Look at us. So they were so convinced that, because why did they go to the temple for prayer if Jesus is where two or three are gathered together? They could have just prayed at home. Why did they go? They were convinced that there's a space that we go to worship Jesus. Now again, I'm not making the case against worshiping Jesus privately, because we all need to worship Jesus privately at home, so that that which we receive at home, and when we have the presence of Jesus in our homes, we can bring it out into the streets and into the building and back to church. But they were so convinced that we go somewhere to pray, 3 o'clock prayers, and we go somewhere to worship, that even though that it was a hostile space, they still went. Peter and John, filled with the Holy Spirit, on a mission to go and worship and pray, passes somebody crippled, somebody that has some form of physical ailment, need, and poor, begging for money. Peter and John, looking straight into the eyes of the crippled man, said, "Look at us." And I want to say in this moment, Father South Korea, may the next time you get confronted by somebody sick, physically disabled, or in need, look at them. And before you can actually look at it, you've got to settle it in your own life, in your own heart, that I am not Jesus. I'm not the savior of everybody. I'm not this one person's solution. And when you come to that space filled with the Holy Spirit on a mission to go and worship, and you're confronted with somebody in need, get past yourself, your own limitations, access your Holy Spirit space, and look them straight in the eyes. What's interesting is that they also said, "Look at us. Look at us." We know those guys that want to come and beg, and they're always looking somewhere else, ne? Straight in the eyes, look at us. Okay, Aldo, now we can go to verse 5. Expecting a gift, he readily gave them his attention, the cripple. Then Peter said, "I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Amen. Now, I don't expect us to go out and pray for every crippled person, but if you do, please do. But I'm asking, I'm pushing into the space where I'm saying, when you're confronted with need, look it straight in the eye, because when you're doing that, you're asking for attention. You're saying, I don't have money, but what I do have, I'll give you. And we should carry this one thing that should be more precious than silver and gold. By the power of the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Giving them Jesus is so much more valuable than finances. But if you do have a 100 rand note in your pocket, don't hesitate to give it. You'll get another one. Amen? Sorry, 6. So, I hope you felt that. Why do we avoid need? It's because we feel we have to be the solution to everybody's problem. And I want to say we are not that. Jesus is the solution. His presence is the solution. And when we avoid people, we are also avoiding offering them Jesus. I don't have money, but I'll give you this. Give you this. He's still got something. I'll give you this. One of my things I do is like, sorry, can't help you now. Sorry, can't help you now. Purely because I've filled up my life to such an extent, I'm so busy, I don't have 5 minutes to just, I'm like, 5 minutes, come on, Anthony. Just pray for the oak. Just give him Jesus. Stand up and walk. I want to end off with 2 Peter. I'm sure it's the same Peter. A couple of years later, so remember, they had the upper room experience. They went out into the street to preach. They were gathering daily, breaking bread, eating together, praising. Then Peter and John go to the temple, a place, a hostile place for their new faith. They get confronted with need and they say, oh, you know, they don't just walk past not looking. They actually focus on the problem and they say, look at us, focus on me. And I say, money I don't have for you, but what I do have. And what I want to say with that is, we have something to give to people. The ultimate, which is Jesus. A couple of years later, Peter writes a letter. And he got it. And he writes it down. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Amen. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. So the next time you get confronted with a need, I'm going to take it from way now. If you get confronted with a need inside of yourself, oh, I'm not this, I don't have that, not enough of this, I have childhood trauma, my partner left me, this and that, whatever your situation, everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. So when you are confronted with a personal need, if you're confronted with a need in your family or in your friendship group, if you're confronted with a need at work or at school, or if you're confronted with a need in church and in your community, you should know everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. So in this moment, we're sitting here. That which we need as a church, that what we need to function as a church, that what we need to fulfill our mission as Father's House Kericha in the city has already been deposited. The solution that is in us is already with us. It's already been deposited in us by what? Just divinely. And that's what makes this faith. This is what makes this church. This is what makes it us a little bit weird. Because we believe in a higher power that through divineness has given us everything that we will ever need. For what? To be rich? No. For life and godliness. For all this was lavished upon us through his rich experience of knowing him, who has called us by name and and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. That's a lot. I'm not even going to go there. Please stand. You're welcome to... Hey, Jesus, welcome. Elder Wayne, you can pop back one slide. You're welcome to focus on a word or an expression there. May the Lord speak to you personally in this. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are the reason we do this. Thank you that you've given us the power, the divine power. And thank you that when we are confronted with need, we do not have to look at our own ability and our own provision, self. But may we offer you to people. And those of us that are standing here desperate for a touch from Jesus, just call out to him. Just ask him to touch you. Just ask him to move powerfully. Ask him to give you everything you need for life and godliness through his divine power. Jesus, the next time we are confronted with need, lack, may our solution not just be finances. May we give that which is ultimately the ultimate gift. You, your presence, the message, the good news of Jesus. Just receive right now. Just receive that which God has for you, that Jesus has for you by his divine power. Jesus, thank you that you are not just there for us to access your things, but you as a person, you honor us with your presence and you give us everything we need. You are the solution to every one of our needs. And I pray and ask that whatever is needed right now, in our personal processes, in our processes as a family, or as a process as a community, that the answer is not anything else except Jesus. May we give people Jesus for your name's sake. Jesus, and I pray that you will be with us and continue with us and massage this into our hearts and our lives by your divine power. And I pray this in your precious name. Amen. Father South Korea, if anything that I've said this morning has touched your heart or your mind or your spirit and you feel you need personal prayer, if you would like to meet Jesus through a gospel, through the gospel and hearing about being saved, if you would want any of us to pray with you, you're welcome to just join us after the service in the front. Please come and pray with us. May we pray with you. If you want to use communion, you're welcome to use communion on your left. If you would like somebody to use communion with you, please come and grab myself or one of the pastors and we'll have it with you. If you've used your white envelope for giving, please pop it in the white basket on the way out. Please stay for coffee and don't just rush away. Let's continue building community. Let's talk. Let's be involved. Let's get to know one another. Till we see each other next week. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your day. Goodbye.